Bezras Hashem Yizbarech, the daf for Tuesday, Parshas Balak Tovshin Ayin Gimel, is Kuf Beis in Meseches Erevin. It's the 322nd daf in Shas. Our Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amar Aleph is going to be discussing the halachos of moving a door stopper that is attached to a door, and the halachos about moving this door stopper, both for Hilchos Shabbos outside of the Mikdash as well as in the Mikdash. That will take up a large part of the discussion of the Gemara, the halachos of different locks and moving things on the threshold on Shabbos. The Gemara then will begin discussing the halachos of the roofs of boats as well as the roofs of tents and the halachos of binyan oel, oel arai, oel kavua, and many of the halachos of making an oel on Shabbos will come up on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, continuing on through Kuf Beis Amud Beis to a new Mishnah that will discuss closing doors on Shabbos as well as windows, which will then carry through to another halacha of Mikdash, and that is putting on bandages on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the halachos outside of the Mikdash and distinctions between what could be done in the Beis HaMikdash and outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And that will take us to the last Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Beis that begins to discuss the halachos of kosher in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Let's Beis Hashem begin. Three lines from the top on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Nagar HaNigrar. To best describe Nagar HaNigrar is to take a look at the diagram. Tof Kuf Tzadi Tes in the Od V'Hadar. We have a picture of a door. In the middle of the door, there is a string that is attached to what we would call today a doorstop. That was a primitive type of lock where you put the door stopper in a hole next to the door, and then the door cannot be pushed open from the outside. Can that be used on Shabbos? Says the Mishnah, Nagar HaNigrar No'alim Bo B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina. You could use it in the Beis HaMikdash and not B'Medina is outside of the Mikdash. The problem over here is an issue of bone. You're putting into the ground a door stopper. On the one hand, it's not entirely bone because it's made to be constantly being put in and out of the ground. Hence, it's only a shvus. Rashi explains in Dibra Maschil Noalin. And for that reason, it's only an Isur Derabbanan. We have a rule, a very important rule that everybody should be familiar with. Ve'ein shvus Derabbanan b'migdash delo gazru sham, Rashi concludes. They didn't, based on Gemara Pesachim, that they didn't decree rabbinic chashos, rabbinic concerns, that it resembles the malacha. The only malachos that are asur in the Migdash are the Isurei Daraisa. U'shvus Derabbanan, they didn't create a gzera. And therefore, it's asur outside of the Migdash because it's binyan derabbanan, if you will. However, in the Migdash, it's mutter. V'hamunach. But what happens if it's not attached to a doorway? Kan v'kan asur. It is here and here it is prohibited. In other words, both in the Migdash and in the Medina. If it's not attached to a string, and then it's just taken in and out of the ground itself, in such a case, it's an Isur D'oraisa, because when you have something that's attached to a string, so then it's clear that it's not meant to be permanently put in the ground. However, if it's not attached to a string, so then it could be permanently left. It's normal to permanently leave it in the ground, hence it's going to be an Isur D'oraisa. However, Reb Yehuda Omer, Hamunach Mutar B'Migdash V'Hanagrar B'Medina. Reb Yehuda disagrees and says that's only a Shvus D'Rabbanan, and hence B'Migdash it's going to be permissible. And it's going to only be Asur D'Rabbanan in the Medina. Reb Yehuda is of the opinion that it's not considered a full-fledged Bona, but it's only Dome L'Binyan, because at the end of the day, it can be taken out. It's by nature not entirely permanent. How one explains the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan in general, we passing like the Rabbanan, will be important for us in terms of halacha lemaisa as well, of what qualifies as bone mid Rabbanan, what qualifies as bone mid oraisa. That is a nominee for the halacha lemaisa from the daily daf. Let's begin the Gemara. Tan rabban nezel nagar nigra shenolam b'migdash avolo b'medina. What is qualifies as nagar nigra in our resha? Kol she kashur, as we already saw by looking at the diagram, if it is attached to a door, vitalui, and it is hanging from a string next to the door, on the door, v'rosha echad magia la'aretz. One more provision, it needs to reach the ground, the stopper as well, which was effectively used as a lock. Rabbi Yehuda omer zeh af medina mutar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that is even permissible in Medina. It's not even does not even resemble bone at all. Ela izel nagar shenolim b'migdash avolob medina. What is a type of stopper that one could use in the Migdash, but is asr midrabbanan? Kol she'ein lo kosher v'lo tolui v'shamto minicha b'keren zavis. Rabbi Yehuda, according to what it seems now from the Gemara, disagrees with the first level. He holds the first level of the Rabbanan, that the Isur de Rabbanan, that most of the rabbis hold of, he holds that because it's attached to a string, and it's clearly not permanent, the Rabbanan never made a gzera on such a thing. When did the Rabbanan make a gzera? They made a gzera with a stopper that is normally taken in and out of the ground, even though it's clearly normal for it to stay in the ground. Since people take it out and put it b'keren zavis, that is only going to be nisur d'rabbanan. While the Chachamim will say it doesn't have to permanently remain in the ground, as long as in its material it appears as if it stays in the ground. Even though people sometimes take it out, put it in the corner for the rabbanan, that will be nisur d'oraisa, and the gzer midrabbanan will be those things that are attached to the door. While Rabbi Yehuda will hold that if it's attached to the door by a string, it's mutter entirely. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'nagrar. We follow, here comes the surprise, we follow Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to halacha nagrar, and therefore will be more lenient than the shita of the Rabbanan. Amar Rava. Rava, however, has a qualification. V'hu shekosher b'deles. When do we say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? You could take it out and San Iser, that's only if the stopper is tied to a string which is tied to the door. Rashi explains that what Rava is coming to preclude is a case where it's tied to the doorpost, then it's not as obvious that it's attached for the door to lock it, and for that reason, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot be makel. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is that true that will only be lenient if the stopper is attached to the door itself? For Ritivla Ikla Lemechuzah, Rabbi Tavla went to Uza, one of the cities in Bavel. V'chazalahu davetali bibra didish dasha, and he saw someone that was using a stopper that was attached to the bar that was going across the door, something like a bolt, but wasn't attached to the door itself. And we said it needs to be attached to the door to show that it's really being used as a stopper, as a lock. V'lo amarlu, v'lo midi. And Rabbi Tavla didn't object. Answers the Gemara, hu nito b'igdo hava. It was attached by a very, very strong string. So once it's attached to a very strong string, so then that shows us that there is a strong connection between it and the door. And then even if it's not directly connected to the door, that will also be acceptable. And it would be considered as if it is attached like a door bolt itself. Ravavia ikla l'Narda. Ravavia went to Narda. Chazil hu gavradava kakotir begemi. He saw someone that was tying this stopper, this bolt, with a type of rubber, is the general way gemi is translated. Amar dein lo nitruk. He said this is not considered attached, and it will be usur to use it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. By Reb Zera. Reb Zera asked the following question. Nikmaz mahu. What's the halacha if you have on the threshold, if the door stopper, if this bolt reaches all the way to the ground? Tosis explains in Dibar Maschil Nikmaz that the shayla over here is a shayla of bone. That up until now, the stopper was resting on the threshold, but it didn't go, the hole didn't go all the way into the ground. And now the question is, it resembles bone, says Tosas. Amar of Yosef, mighty boy, what's the shayla? Lo shamila hadisnan. Didn't you learn the Braisa Nishmat Asur? If it's entirely removed from the rope, then it's going to be Asur. However, Nikmaz, despite the fact that it reaches the ground, Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nikmaz Afal Pishen Nishmat Asur. While Rabbi Yehuda hold, it's Asur. Vamar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Alach Rabbi Yehuda Ben Nikmaz. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it's going to be Asur, as we mentioned in the Hava Mina of the Gemara and the Shiloh, the Taima Mai, what would the reason to Asur it? Amar Abaye, Mishum de Mechsi Kebona. It appears like Bona because it reaches all the way to the ground. The Gemara continues, Boy Mine Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah Me Abaye, Asa Labes Yad Mahu. What would the halacha be if they take this Nagar that's not at all attached to a wall and they make it obvious that it's literally has place for a hand? In other words, that it's used by a hand, and it's not something that's added to the structure. They give it finger spaces. So now the Gemara tries to clarify what exactly would an example of that be. Amarle buchna kamrit? Are you talking about something that's called a buchna? A buchna was used for the squashing and the pressing and pounding of wheat and spices. And so there clearly it's a handheld utensil. It's not meant to be added to the structure. So Gemara says, Itmar Amar of Nechumi Barada Asala Besiad Mutter. That we already learned is going to be Mutter. Again, there it doesn't appear to Bona. Continues the Gemara. Ahu Sharisa, this heavy beam. Dahavibe Rebbe Podas was in the house of Rebbe Podas. Damadalible Asara Vashadule Adesha. They used to take 10 people to carry it, and they would put it against a door to make sure that no one was open, going to be able to open the door, this heavy, heavy beam that held the door shut. And Rabbi Pada said nothing about using it Shabbos. Amar Taris Kli Aleha, it had the status of a Kli, despite the fact that it was large. It wasn't considered as if it was being most of a binyan. Rashi says, because it people used it to sit on it. Ahu Asisa, there was a machteshes, a grinder, the Havis Beimar Shmuel that was in the house of Shmuel, the machzekes Adriba. Adriba was 15 saw, which is a half a kur, that's how much it held, is very large. And nevertheless, Shar Mashmuel Mishte Adeshe, he allowed it to be used, again for the same reason, Omar Torres Kli Aleha, and therefore it doesn't appear as if you're adding to the binyan. Now that the Gemara has discussed the halachos of Bone, the Gemara goes on to the halachos of Asiyas HaOel as well, the halachos of making a tent. Shalach Le Rami Bar Yecheskel Rav Amram, Neimalan Mar, please let Mar say for us, Mahalin Mili Ma'al Yisa. One of the excellent teachings that you say, Da Amrit La Mishmei De Rabbi Asi, Bikipa Da Arbi. To tell us the teachings of Rav Asi in regards to the tents that are made on boats. In those days, they used to put staves on top of the boats, and then when it was very sunny, they would add a cloth to protect them from the sun. Something that's not uncommon today to build, protect from the sun, particularly here in Beit Shemesh, you'll see them quite often. So Rav Amram quoted from Rav Asi, Hani kipi de arba, bizman sheyesh ben tefach. If there is already a tefach worth of thickness above, even without spreading out any added tent, inami or even ein ben tefach, there isn't a tefach, ve'ein ben zelazesh shlosha, but there isn't a distance of three tefachim between the staves from each other, so they're considered lovud and attached to each other, and there's sach hakol altogether more than a tefach with the lovud. So then the halacha is mevi machzelas uparis alehin, that you're allowed to spread more of a tent above them. My taima, this is a very important rule. Moisif al oel arayhu v'shapir dami. It's considered as if you're adding to a pre-existing tent. This is a yisod gadol in the halachos of ohel, and that is that
Mosif la'ol arai is mutter. Adding to a pre-existing oel is permissible. Now, one would have thought that that only means if there is a partial oel. Here the chidush is once there is a tefach worth of even halachic space, then it's permissible to add to it. The Gemara continues, Hani dichri, these rams, the havilei the ravuna to be mama bo'utula, that during the day they needed to be covered from the sun. Ubalayla, oyavira, and at night they needed air. In other words, they needed that which was hanging above them to be removed. Asala kamei de rav, Ravuna asked Rav what to do. Amalei, zilkroch budya, go spread apart bad a cloth, vishir ba tefach, and leave a tefach. L'machar pashto mosaf al ola raihu v'shapir dami. And the next day, you're allowed to spread out and add. Another nominee for halacha from the daily daf is the application of these halachos to a stroller today, adding to a pre-existing tefach of a stroller roof is presumably an extension of this direct halacha of the daf. Amar Rav Mishum Rebbi Chiya Vilon, if there is a curtain, mutl and toso mutl farko b'Shabbos, you're allowed to open it and close it on Shabbos. Rashi explains, because we're not dealing with an oel at all, and since it's made to open and close, so then in such a case, like a door, it's not considered building a mechitza on Shabbos. Kilas chasanim, that is an area of sheet that would adorn a bed, particularly the bed of chasanim, that was shaped like a teepee. If you take a look at pictures from 19th, 18th, 17th century, some fancy bedrooms would have a hanging over the bed, which was adorned with fancy sheets that were held up with four staves. This, the Kilas Chasanim, was held up with a teepee-like set of staves. In other words, as Rashi explains, the adorning sheets were hanging on an angle and reached the top where it was supported without a tefach worth of the sheets extending horizontally, but rather only on a slope, similar to a teepee. Kilas chasanim mutl farkel on tosa b'Shabbos. You're allowed to open it and close on Shabbos, Rashi explains, because it's less than a tefach and consistent with the above rule that we had learned from Rav Asi. Amar Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Yidi Lo Amarin Ela Sheim Begaga Tefach. As we learned above. Ask Gemara, v'chiyein begaga tefach, excuse me, the Gemara adds, v'chiyein begaga tefach lo amoran, ela she'ein bepachos mishlosha samuch legag tefach. We learned earlier that if the staves above combine to a tefach's worth, so then in such a case that could also create a tefach worth, and then constructing it on Shabbos would be constructing a real roof. Yesh bepachos mishlosha samach legag tefach, it's going to be asur. So this final halacha that we just learned was teaching us that it would be permissible to construct a tent as long as there isn't an horizontal tefach there on Shabbos. So horizontal tefach could do two things. Number one, it makes it halachically as if you're making an ol and prohibited. And number two, if it already is pre-existing before Shabbos, then it's considered as if the tent already existed. And hence, we learned from Rav that you're allowed to add to it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, v'chi ein bepachos mishlosha samach legag tefach, nami lo amaran. The only time we said that it's permissible if it's less than a tefach was only said el she'en b'shipua tefach, that its slope is not a tefach worth. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach, but if there is a slope of a tefach, shipua olim ka'olim domi, then it's considered the slope of tents and it's going to be prohibited. Rashi asks, isn't every slope of a kilas chasanim by definition more than a tefach? If we're going to talk about literally a kilas chasanim that's kosher with a slope that's less than a tefach, that on either side of the staves, then that means we're talking about a bed that's less than two tefachim wide. Rashi, as you could see in the diagram on Amud Beis, in Dibur HaMaschil Bishipua, starting from the beginning of the Amud, about 10 lines in,
describes that the you're right, but you could explain our case as a bed that has many staves on it. If it has many staves and there is a kila, a roof of this bad that's spread over each one of these staves less than a tefach, then in such a case you'll have a covering where each one of the roofs are spread less than a tefach. Each one is less than a tefach, as you see in the diagram, and in such a case, then it would be mutter, but in all other cases, l'chatchila, to make a slope that is more than a tefach, is going to be problematic. Gemara continues two lines on top. Amar v'shisha brei d'ravida, sayno shari.
A hat is permissible to go out on Shabbos. Now here we get Rabosai to another nominee for halacha for the daily daf. And that is, yes, the halachos of wearing a hat on Shabbos. V'atanya asur. The Gemara asks that it's asur to wear a hat. Lo kasha hodis beitefach hodoles beitefach. If it has a tefach, then it's going to be asur. Why? Because the hat resembles an ohel. However, if it's less than that, then it'll be permissible. Asks the Gemara, elameyata, but according to this, shirbev biglime tefach, if a person puts a talis over his head more than a tefach, hachanami d'asur, it should be asur. Says the Gemara, ela loy kasha. It's not a question. Had mehadik, had lo mehadik. If we're talking about a hat that is attached, like a talis is, so then in such a case, we're not afraid, even if it's a tefach, that you're going to come to carry it. However, if it's not attached, so then in such a case, we're afraid that if it's going to blow off, then you're going to come to carry it on Shabbos. This is the pshat in the Gemara, according to Rashi, as spelled out by Taisus Dibra Maschil Hod Mihadik. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says that the reason why the hat is Aser is because when it is Mahadik, when it is firm, and the edges of the hat do not flap, so then it's flap down like over the ears of a person, so then in such a case it appears like an ohel. And Tosis Dibra Maschil Hod Miadik comes out that for that reason wearing a hat on Shabbos is going to be Aser. Without getting into the details, since we're still in the daf, there are some who have argued that based on Tosis' Shita from Rabbeinu Chananel, wearing a hat whose brim is larger than a tefach would be in Isur Dirabonan. Let's continue on in the Mishnah and maybe go back to that in the halacha from the daily daf. Machzirin sira tachton b'migdash. One is allowed to return the doors of utensils from their bottom hinges as long as they haven't been entirely removed from the utensil, Rashi explains. One is allowed to do it in the migdash, avalo b'medina, but since it looks like you're fixing the kli, and you might come to reattach it in a way that it is mamish a malacha, Rashi explains, even though reattaching it to its hinge when it's still attached is not, is osur midrabanan. Ve'elyon kan v'kan osur. If it's come out of its top hinge as well, then it's going to be osur midrabanan. And even midaraisa, according to some shitas, Rashi explains. If we hold yesh binyan bekelim, that there is a prohibition of building utensils, so then in such a case, it's considered binyan mamish, and osur min haTorah, and hence osur in the migdash. So Rashi says that would be dependent on whether we hold of binyan bekelim or not. Rabbi Yehuda omer ha'elyon b'migdash v'atachton b'medina. Rabbi Yehuda says in the migdash, putting the elyon is going to be osur. Vatachton b'medina, and in the medina it's going to be osur, even if it's only the bottom one. Mefarshim explain that the position here of Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan said there'll be an Isur d'Oraisa of binyan b'kelim, as we saw from Rashi. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'migdash, even though he holds ein binyan b'kelim, but the Migdash, they did make a gzeira of the Elyon, even though it's Aser Midrabanan, Shema Yiske'enu Bepatish, lest he come to
to bang it in with a hammer, that is a Iser D'Rabbanan, that even in the Mikdash, we're going to be Machmiran, according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is the Pashtus of Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Shita of Rashi. It's as well as how Tosos seems to present Rashi in Dibur HaMaschil, the Elyon, and the Or Zeruah's Pshat Mefurish in Siman Reish Yud. Tosos Dibur HaMaschil, the Elyon, rejects this approach of Rashi. V'amevin Yovin, Tosos is Lishitasam, that does not want to present that Binyan Bekelim should be a Machloikis Tanoim, and Tosis explains the Mishnah differently. Let's continue with the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Sir Deles Sheida Tevo Migdal B'Migdash Machzirin. In the Beis HaMigdash, you could put back the door. B'Medina, outside the Migdash Doichkin, you could only force it back, but not reinsert it entirely. Rashi explains that means that if it hasn't come entirely out, it'll be permissible. If it's come out of its hinge, it will be Osir. Va'elyon, but if the top has come out as well, kan v'kan lo yachzir, gzeira shema yisaka, because we have a gzeira that he might come to twist it back in. V'imtaka chayiv chatos. And if he does, he's going to be chayiv chatos. Shel bor v'shel dus v'shel yitzia lo yachzir, v'imhichzir chayiv chatos. However, if it's attached to the ground, so then in such a case you shouldn't put it in, and if you do, that in itself is an Isser D'Oraisa, because there you're no longer doing Binyan Bekelim, but rather over there, what you're doing is Binyan Mamish, because it's attached to the ground. This is an important rule in Halacha as well, and that is any time you're reattaching something that is Mechuba Lekarka, it is a Shailava D'Oraisa of Bone. Continues the Mishnah, Machzir Ritia B'Migdash, you're allowed to return a bandage on Shabbos if it's in the Migdash, and we don't have the normal gzeira when it comes to the Isser Ritiyah, Machzir Ritiyah, that's described in Meseches Beitz on Daf Yud Aleph Amebeis, lest you come to spread out ointment on Shabbos in the case of a Migdash. Rashi explains that what's going on is the following. There's an Isser, of course, for a Kohen to do Avoda with a chatzitza. The Gemara in Zvachim, as well as and on our next daf, on Kuv Gimel Amebeis, based on the pasuk of the Lakach HaKohen, that says that the Kohen needs to take directly without any chatzitza, that he needs to take, for example, the dam for Zrika directly in his hand, and there can't be any chatzitza, would be faced with the following problem on Shabbos if he had to wear a bandage. Let's say he had some type of wound, and he had a bandage which had ointment on it that was treating his wound. The Kohen would not be able to do the Avodah unless he took off the bandage. If he takes off the bandage, our Mishnah tells us that we don't make the Gzera Midrabanan that prohibits him to return the bandage lest he come to spread ointment on Shabbos. Rashi points out that here the heter is not based on the idea of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, this is the position of Rashi, others disagree, but rather as the Gemara in Beitza Mefurish, Rashi just really repeating the Gemara in Beitza, tells us the heter of Saifon Mishum Tchilasan. There are three heterim of Saifon Mishum Tchilasan that appears in Beitza Daf Yud Aleph Mebeis. We had a very important one, which is important Halacha L'Maisa for Hatzalah today, and that we have found on Daf Memhei in Meseches Erevin. There we allowed people to come back from war with their utensils that came from outside of the Tchum, because if we didn't allow them to do it, so then it could very well be that they would be a Sakana if we didn't allow them to return with it. So too over here, for a different motivation, Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, that if we're not going to allow them to return the bandage, then they would not take the bandage off. It was too painful and it required too much attention, and then the avoda would not get done by this Kohen. So this is mutter for a different reason, according to Rashi of Sof Mishum Tchilasim. The Farshim point out that the Rambam seems to disagree in Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Chaf Zayin, that he seems to follow the general theme of our sugya, and that is Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Either way, the Mishnah says it's permissible, Machzir Ritiyah B'Migdash Avolo B'Medina, in Betchila, Kan V'Kan Aser. However, if it's the first time you're putting it on, then it's going to be Aser even in the Mikdash as well. Tanu Rabbanu Ritiya, Shapir Shemel Gabi Maka, Machzirim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to return Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Huchla Kolamata,
Doich Kolamala. If the bandage has slipped down, you're allowed to push it up. Limala, if it's gone up, Doich Kolamata, you're allowed to push it down. It's not considered Machzirim Ritiya. Umigala Mikdash Haritiya, and you're allowed to even reveal a little bit of the bandage. Umikaneach Piyamaka, and clean the maka, v'chozer megala mixes retio mekaneach piyamaka, and you're allowed to as well push it in another direction. In other words, piecemeal clean the wound by removing part of the bandage, as long as you don't remove all of it and clean the wound. However, v'retia atzma lo yikaneach mepnei shehu mimarech, but you're not allowed to rub on the bandage itself an ointment because you're going to come to flatten out, says Rashi, the edges, the grooves of the bandage itself. According to the Shita of Rashi, the issue over here of Mimareach will appear if you're flattening out the bandage. It will be interesting to note that many poskim talk about the Isser of Mimareach when it comes to applying ointment itself, about being Mimareach, the ointment. Rashi does not raise that in our sugya. He talks about flattening out the bandage itself. And if you do miruach of flattening out, like they used to flatten the hides in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, you'd be chayiv a carbon chatas. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mishmua Lochik Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said name Mishmua, we follow Rav Yehuda, who prohibits returning the bandage if it's fallen off entirely. Amar Rav Chizah, lo shanu ala shepir shal gabi kli. The chumra of Rav Yehuda, vis-a-vis the Rabbanan, is only in regards to if it fell onto a utensil. Avol pirshar gabe karka, but fallen on the ground, even the Rabbanan will be machmir, divrei hakol osir. Everybody would hold its osir. Amar Rav Ravashi, the Kamina Kamei Abba, I was in front of my father, Rav Ashi, nafalei av beisadya, there was a bandage that was sitting on the pillow that had fallen off. It seems that there was a bandage that was placed on the pillow for my father Rav Ashi to treat a wound on his head, and it had fallen on to a utensil. V'koma haderle, and he put it, returned it. Aminale. So I asked father, lo sava lemar lahod amar of chizda machlokes shepir shal gabe kli, that there is a machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan when it has fallen off onto a utensil, pir shal gabe karka osir, that everybody holds if it falls on the ground it's going to be osir, but Rabbi Yehuda is even machmir if it is entirely removed and fell onto a utensil. V'amar shmua lochik Rabbi Yehuda, and we follow Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be osir if it's entirely removed on a utensil. Amar li lo shmi li klomer lo svir li, I do not hold this way. Bidas Rebbe Yehuda, like Rav Chizda had presented. Rather, Rebbe Yehuda will not be machmir if it falls onto a utensil, even if it was entirely revealed. In other words, the wound was revealed. As long as it hasn't fallen to the ground, Rebbe Yehuda would be makel, according to Rav Ashi. Bezer Hashem, this concludes the learning of Pshat on Daf Kuf Beis on the Beis, and we now go Bezras Hashem to the halacha from the daily daf. Bezras Hashem, our halacha topic from the daf of Kuf Beis in Meseches Erevin, will present it in a slightly dramatic fashion. Is it a mitzvah or aveira to wear a hat on Shabbos? In Meseches Erevin, Kuf Beis am Beis, it could very well be that in certain instances, wearing a hat on Shabbos might actually be an Isur de Rabbana. The Gemara on Kuf Beis Amid Beis tells us that Rav Shishi Brei de Rav Idi, two lines from the top, differentiated between a hat that had a tefach worth of space versus a hat that did not have a tefach worth of space on its brim. According to all opinions, at that stage of the Gemara, the reason why it would be prohibited if there is a tefach is because it resembles ohel. Presumably it's an Isser Ol Midrabanan, but nevertheless going out with an Ol on Shabbos. So here you go. It's a Mefurish Gemara that if there's a Tefach worth of space of the brim, in such a case there's an issue of Ol. There is a Machlokis Rishonim how to read the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara then says, Elameater Sharviv Biglime Tefach, the same thing should apply, should be a problem if a person spreads out a talis over himself where the top of the talus, the atara, spells out more than a tefach, it should be a problem. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha, this is how the sugya concludes, hod mihadik, hod lo mihadik. According to the opinion of Rashi, the Gemara has entirely rejected its concern about a tefach being in an ohel. Because if that would be so, the same should apply to a talus. However, the Gemara changes its mind and says, we have to be concerned that the hat will blow off on Shabbos. Now this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Aleph, Sim Sif Mem Aleph, we have the Mechaber saying, Lotzeis b'Shabbos b'kovashe b'rosha, osu l'hogim b'pnei achama, yesh misho osar mishum nechai shinan, shiagbeeno ruach merusha v'asla suye dalid amis. One has to be concerned that the hat is going to be blown off. The Mechaber does say, not all instances, like we learned in our Gemara, that if it's tied under his chin, it'll be acceptable. Similarly, the Mechaber is also makel im kein hup mehudak berosho, if it's tightly attached to his head, in such a case, then it will also be permissible, and Chazal never made the gzera. If we learned according to Rashi, and according to this psak halacha, then a person should try to fasten, if they wear a hat on Shabbos, fasten the hat tightly to their head, and it would not be a problem. However, there is a dissenting view, which we could find in our daf, which becomes halacha l'maisa as well. In Tosas di Ramaschal ha-de-mahadik, Tosas quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, parenthetically, one of the cryptic parts of this sugya, is that Rabbeinu Chananel on our daf says the opposite, even though Rabbeinu Chananel in Maseches Shabbos on Kuf Lamaches seems to present as Rabbeinu Chananel. But it's not only Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh presents this in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. And that is the following. They understand, let's read it in Tosos. Avo Rabbeinu Chananel mifarish de mehadik osur kishatefach hayotze min hakove chazak sheinu nikfaf. Vinira o elufize kovim asurim. Says Tosis, hats are prohibited from Rabbeinu Chananel. The Gemara's teretz, according to Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Tam, is not as Rashi had presented. When the Gemara says, Hodim Mahadik, Hodim Mahadik, is the Gemara is differentiating between two different types of hats. There is a hat like farmers use, where the hat covers their head, and then it droops down over their ears. That's not a problem of Ohel. Similarly, a talus droops down. That's not a problem of Ohel. But if it's Mahadik, if it's a firm brim, so then, in such a case, it would be a problem of Ohel. Now here in Shulchan Aruch, we follow both opinions in the Gemara. Says the Mechaber in Shin Aleph, Mem Kova, Shu Mispashet Lahalo Mirosho Tefach, if it spreads out from his head, a Tefach, Osala Nicho Birosho Afilu Bebayis, he can't even put it out on his head inside his house, Mishum Oel, because it qualifies as Oel. Rav Neven Sal, in his beautiful Sefer and Melachos, put together by his son, my dear Rebbe and friend Reb Chizkiyo Neven Sal Shlita, on page Reish Nun Beis, elaborates on what the machlok is between Rashi and Tosfos, why Rashi did not learn that way. But at the end of the day, that discussion is academic because we paskin like both opinions, and there is a chshash if the brim is going to be a tefach. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Kuf Nun Beis points out that there are achronim that are makel in regards to the hat, that it would not be an avera even to wear such a hat like this. Number one, some suggest that it's not so hard, the brim is not so hard. Maybe one could argue that this is a reason to wear a Litvisha hat, where the brim bends down, in contrast to a Hasidisha one. Or, for that matter, a Litvisha rabbinic hat, a Hamburg, which also doesn't bend down. Number two, says the Mishnah Berurah, even if it's hard, at the end of the day, his intention is not to wear it for shade, but it's just to cover his head. And for that reason, it's not called an Oel. It's a little difficult, that svar, because at the end of the day, why do we not say that even though that's not his intention, but it becomes a psik resha, that it has all the properties of the halachos of Oel. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, ubemakom shelo nag lahakel bazeh, bevadai yesh hachmir kedasa shulchan aruch. One should certainly be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch. This is how I heard from my great Rebbe Rav Neven Sal Shlita as well. He did add something fascinating, and actually it is quite moving at this historical moment that we are within the Shiva of the great Talmud Chacham and Marbitz Torah, one of the biggest mashpim of our century in Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Neuwirth Zatzal. That Rav Nevinzal told me years ago that he discussed with Rav Neuwirth this Shaila. Those two men are the closest of Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, where Rav Nevinzal suggested that even though clearly one should be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch, and one should measure that the hat should not be a tefach, however, he argued that since the halachos of Ohel calculate a tefach in terms of a tefach meruba and not a tefach igul, so then in such a case, if a person does not have a tefach meruba around the hat itself from the brim, even if there is a tefach igul, then that's still less than the shear. In other words, if you have a hat, you draw around the circle of the hat itself a tefach, and if the amount of space would equal a square tefach, the brim equals the amount of space of a square tefach, then in such a case it would be a problem. However, a tefach igul is not the measurement. The brilliant Ha'ara of our great Rebbe, and this is quoted as well in the Sefer that Rav Chizkio put out, Yushalayim B'Mo'adeh, this interaction between Rav Nevinzal and Rav Neuwirth on page Reish Nun Beis, and this was the point that Rav Nevinzal made when he taught me this halacha in the Mishneh Berurah in Oz Kuf Nun Beis. Hayotze Midvareinu, that it could very well be that according to many poskim, wearing a hat with a very large brim might constitute an iser derabanan, an ohel, and it would be, if you will, putting it in the context, an avera midrabanan, according to some, to wear such a hat on Shabbos. On the other hand, of course, there are some who argue that a kosher hat on Shabbos would be an inyan to wear. Is a mekar in the Mishneh Berurah for this? In Simin Sadi Beis, Sif Koton Yud Beis, the Mishneh Berurah describes that it is an act of kavod to put a hat on when davening, because that is how one would go to greet honorable people. If I'm not mistaken, I heard from Rabbi Willig Shlita that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal commented that after John Kennedy in 1960 went out to the inauguration without a hat, and slowly as the 60s developed in its positive ways, but in many ways in its negative ways as well, there was a breakdown of dress, and no longer did heads of state, and that for that matter people, go out with hats. Like once upon a time, if you take a look at a New York Yankees game from the 1920s and 1930s, everybody wore a hat. I'm not talking about a baseball cap. I'm talking about a dress hat to the baseball game. The only one that didn't were the players themselves. All of that, Rav Aaron Zatzal pointed out right away in the beginning, and therefore Rav Aaron had argued that even according to the Mishneh Berurah, it could very well be that the halacha has changed. As well known, there are different minhagim in Klal Yisrael today. Different minhagim, including the Chassidish hat and the Shtreimel and the Hamburg, are all based on a chitzoniistic expression, emphasis on chitzonius, of different traditions. And there, on this we could say that those who follow their rabbeim and their traditions, they're the ones who are doing the mitzvahs. And when we have the siyata d'shmaya to be mamshich, the drachim of our rabbeim, not only in the chitzonius, but even in the pnimius and the ruach haTorah of the Yud Beis Shiftei Ka. What emerges then is that there would be a Shaila in Hilchos Shabbos, according to some poskim, except for Rashi, and some justifications of the Mishneh Berurah, even though the Mishneh Berurah says l'chatchila, to be careful that the brim should not be large. We have the important heter from Rav Nevinzal as well as the Makar in Hilchos Tefillah for those who are makbid and wearing a hat for davening. This Bezer Hashem concludes the halacha topic from Daf Kuf Beis in Maseches Erevin.